Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing at Real Clear Politics, about two vivid and sensationally successful personalities, one on the left and the other one works for the left. We'll begin with James Carville, the tactician for election time, a man who speaks extremely cleverly. And you will recall that he emerged from the pack with Bill Clinton's first term because of a phrase that he used again and again to explain the success of Mr. Clinton's campaign against a sitting president. It was, "It's the economy, stupid." Well, "It's the economy, stupid" is an accurate description of how the American people vote. We vote our pocketbook. But, Peter, a very good evening to you. Mr. Carville, writing an essay about the shortfall of the Democratic vote in 2024, he believes the economy is still the story, the only story that matters, and that the Democratic Party, and in particular its leading candidate, the vice president, did not convey that opinion adequately, and that the Democratic Party needs to reorganize itself and go back to the lesson that he taught in 1992. You do not entirely agree with that. Why not, Peter? Good evening, Peter.
Good evening, John. No, I do not entirely agree with it, or really hardly at all. So Carville's view, which he expressed in this guest essay that appeared in the New York Times, his opinion is, as you said, that it is, it always will be the economy, stupid. And his analysis actually is superior to that which you heard from many people on the left to explain Trump's victory. That is that Trump won because the American people, or a majority, are too racist or sexist to elect an African-American woman. Carville says it was the economy, and in fact, inflation was a leading issue. However, Carville's argument is that it wasn't really the economy, it was people's perceptions of the economy. And so what the Democrats really have to get right is not how they govern. It's not their policies, it's how they present their policies to the American people. So what Democrats need to really improve is not their economic game, their economic policies, but their narrative, the way they talk to the American people about the economy. Of course, this way of thinking presupposes that a majority of American people are dolts.
A puzzle about Mr. Carville's opinion of the American public. We have always been a nation that trusts in democracy, but it's mitigated because we're a republic. In other words, we don't have direct rule by 50%. They feared that in the 19th century. It would appear that Mr. Carville believes that we didn't mitigate that, that you can't trust the mob, the crowd, the demos, the majority. You can't trust them. Where did he get such an idea? Do you know, Peter?
Well, there, as you suggest, there's always been the American system, a concern that that majority will has to be constrained by political institutions, has to be constrained by the protection of rights. But it's strangely enough, over the last several decades, it's the left who's developed, I think, an unprecedented contempt for the good sense of the ordinary voter. And above all, on the question of economics, it seems to me this is strange. Why? Because economics is one area in which, for many matters, you don't have to read the New York Times to understand what the situation is. If you want to know what's unfolding in Afghanistan or the northwestern part of China, or for that matter, the Middle East. You need the media, you need newspapers, you need video. But if you want to understand the cost of groceries, if you want to appreciate the significance of unemployment, if you want to really understand what's happening with wages, well, you're the one who's paying for the groceries. You're the one experiencing inflation. You're the one whose wages are going nowhere. So precisely with economics, it seems to me, ordinary people are in the best position to know what the condition of matters is.
The explanation about Ms. Harris's lack of success at the election involved usual suspects, identity politics. Mr. Carville doesn't embrace that. He asked the Democratic Party to go forward and come up with a better message. Peter, it's long been a caricature of the Democrats that they never lose because they're wrong. They lose because they didn't convey how right they are. And I know that sounds lighthearted of me, but it does begin to resemble, I believe, what Mr. Carville is saying. If we just said the right thing in the right way, we would have won.
Oh, he's definitely saying that. He speaks of improving our message machine, getting the narrative right. Everything counts on perception, taking advantage of the new social media and so on. He's got a few recommendations about policy proposals. He makes a certain nod to Trump, that Trump tapped into discontent among ordinary people. But he doesn't really embrace the idea that dissent, that discontent among ordinary people arises from two things when it comes to economics. One, dissatisfaction with the policies, but actually with what the Democrats actually do stand for.
I go to my reading of the election as opposed to Mr. Carville's election. I've learned to trust the American people. The cynical way of saying is you get the kind of government you deserve. The American people are worthwhile. They choose a government not on the basis of the ideal, but you've only got so many candidates. You've got to vote for one or the other, and you measure them against each other. In that instance, there was a former president of the United States with a plan now going forward to do things that the American people care about, which is the economy, to make America great again, to usher in a golden age, as Mr. Trump now says, and also to deal with the overwhelming number of immigrants who come to this country looking for whatever, and without documentation, without any reason for there to be understanding a place for them in the country. Those things were important. You could see it in the polls. Mr. Carville skips that. Why?
I think it because it's inconvenient from his point of view. I would especially emphasize the cultural issues. We know that the Democrats have been shedding voters among the working class, among lower middle class, ordinary voters for many election cycles dating back at least to 2010. Were he to pay attention to this, it would require him and his party to do more than improve their narrative. They like to change narratives. It would require them to examine the beliefs that they've been propounding, especially at universities, especially in the mainstream media, views about the evils of free speech, views about transgender ideology, views about diversity, equity, inclusion, which means discriminating against people based on race and treating merit as a artifact of white supremacy. It would mean engaging in introspection about ideas that are very unpopular that are being promulgated by bastions of the left, our universities, and the mainstream media.
Finally, Peter, it occurs to me in reading, because you have a link to the original column that James Carville put up, he believes or he maintains that being smart is adequate and that that's what people should vote for, being smart. What does he mean by that? You know, the smartest people should be elected. Who's the smartest person? Bill Clinton was his candidate. Bill Clinton is extremely, extremely well-educated, but at the same time, he's got other gifts.
Yeah, so it's an excellent question. What do we mean by spartan? You get the impression sometimes he means the person who is capable of producing the slickest message that will persuade the people to give him or her power. You get the impression he doesn't mean what we used to look for in politics, that they are well endowed with practical judgment, that they understand the people's discontents, that they understand the texture of the nation, that they advocate policies that are consistent with that nation and address people's genuine concerns. Unfortunately, that kind of intelligence, although it could be, is not taught at our universities anymore.
We're going to turn to our universities. Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution is here with his column at Real Clear Politics. We're talking about two major personalities in the media, James Carville and David Brooks.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.